Running with the Devil, first of all, and Jane is Crying. Both those albums taken from tracks taken from Van Halen 1, one of the 20 best-selling artists of all time, releasing multi-platinum albums in 5 consecutive years. Van Halen 2 in 1979, Women and Children First in 1980, Fair Warning 1981, Diver Down 1982, and their biggest hit, which was 1984, including the hit single Jump. Van Halen's distinctive acrobatic guitar playing powered the band's appeal and earned him a reputation as one of rock's all-time greats. He said he grew up idolising Eric Clapton, pioneered his own dynamic style, often playing with both hands on the neck of the guitar, modelled by a generation of guitarists. "I do whatever I want," he said in an interview with Guitar Player. "I don't really think about it too much. Everything is pretty spontaneous." R.I.P. Eddie Van Halen, who's died at the age of 65. A security flaw in a high-tech chastity belt for men has made it possible for hackers to remotely lock all the devices in use simultaneously. The internet-linked sheath has no manual override, so owners might have been faced with the prospects of having to use a grinder or bolt cutter to free themselves from the metal clamp. The toy's appeal has been fixed by its Chinese developer after a team of UK security professionals flagged the bug. They've also published a workaround. It could be used for anyone still using an old version of the app who finds themselves locked in as a result of an attacker making use of the revelation. Any other attempt to cut through the device's plastic body poses a risk of harm. Didn't know that such things existed.
I'm completely lost.
I thought it was a medieval concept. Anyway, I don't need one of them. 8:16.
And now it's time for Woofer of the Week on 106.5 Riviera Radio.
Dawn Howard is here with Woofer of the Week. Hi, Dawn.
Good morning to you.
Terrible weather we had last week and that devastation that we've seen on the news and on the newspapers is absolutely appalling, isn't it?
Yeah, it was awful. Really hard to comprehend, actually.
Okay, before the Woofer, an announcement.
Yes, that's right. So there's a lot of collecting going on at the moment, taking place for the animals that were affected by Friday's flood. And if you'd like to donate bedding or food and you're in the Valbonne area, then the drop-off point is Britton's. Thank you so much, Caroline Britton. For Mougins area, it's the Refuge de l'Espoir. And up in Carros, they're working with the police, the fire brigade and the rescue services to get the food to where it needs to be. As usual, doing a sterling job up there. So that's where I've chosen today's woofer from. He's called Limbo. It feels a bit topical at the minute, doesn't it? Just to say you can change his name, of course, if you wanted to. So today's woofer is Limbo. He's a medium to large dog. He's 3 years old and he looks to me to be a Bousseron Shepherd mix. That means he's a calm, intelligent dog. They're loyal and they listen. This one has lovely pointy ears that are constantly up and paying attention. He's black and tan with a smooth, shiny coat, and he would suit a home without very small children, mainly because he'd knock them over, and he's not a big fan of cats. He needs to be walked every day and would love a garden to run around in too. And if you'd like to meet him and see how lovely he is for yourself, as I said, he's in the Refuge in Carros, and they're open from 2 to 5 every day.
Yeah, as well as the cost to human life, it's easy to forget the effects it's had on the animals. There must be hundreds of animals missing after that, surely.
Yes, from what I understand, there's a lot of animals that are missing, and where they've evacuated people from their homes, the animals are still there. From what I've been told, they're not in danger, but that's why they need to be fed, and that's why there's this big operation to get food to where it's needed.
Dawn, thank you very much for all the great work you're doing, and hopefully we'll get a great result for that appeal as well.
Let's hope so. Thank you very much, Rob.
That was Woofer of the Week. For more details about this week's Woofer, go to the 106.5 Riviera Radio page on Facebook or our website at rivieraradio.mc. Woofer of the Week on 106.5 Woof Riviera Radio.
Ask a silly question.
Get a silly answer. Today's quiz, question number one. He was born on this day in 1996. This Scottish singer-songwriter achieved global mainstream success last year, in 2019. Mm. No, with his international breakthrough single, Someone You Loved.
Oh, what's his face? Can't remember.
No?
No.
It was Lewis Capaldi.
Oh, I was going to say that.
Question number two. It's all about birthdays today. This British female singer was born on this day in 1964. She scored a top four UK single in 1989 with the song Stop.
Sam Brown.
Correct.
Also used to do backing vocals for Pink Floyd.
Yep. And on this day, this American female singer was born on this day in 1967. She recently made a comeback this year with the single Dance and had a 1996...
Toni Braxton.
Yes. Can you tell me what her 1996
Unbreak
US
my heart.
Number one in the... Yes, well done. Number one in the UK and reached number two in the UK. Number one in the US, sorry, and number two in the UK.
Another one from the Lycett Slushy Library.
Oh, I thought you were going to play Dance. Sorry.
I could have done. Might play it after this, you never know.
Riviera Radio. Business.
Boom.
Good morning.
Ah, there you are, that's better.
That's crystal clear and beautiful, isn't it?
Nothing like the good old ISDN, eh?
Very nice.
All this new technology stuff, you know, you can't beat
the old...
Don't
need it. No. Don't need Zoom, don't need Boom, don't need Clean Feed, IPAD, forget it.
Yeah.
Not required.
Well, as long as Uncle Barclay carries on paying the phone bill, we should be okay, shouldn't we?
Let's do it.
Actually, we're paying because I'm dialing you. Actually, can you dial us now?
No, it's impossible. Sorry.
Okay, moving on to the markets. We had a boost on Monday, but it all fell flat yesterday after President Trump ended negotiations on a new coronavirus aid package.
Exactly right. US stocks tumbled. Bonds soared in the last hour of trading on Wall Street after President Trump said he's ending stimulus talks until after the election, just hours after Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell renewed his warning the recovery will stumble without additional fiscal support. We know there's been this political impasse over the size and the scale of the stimulus required between the Democrats and the Republicans. I think at the last count, it was the difference somewhere around $600 billion. They've clashed over the proposed level of additional unemployment insurance, direct relief payments, and assistance for local and state governments. Reaching agreements, we said before, against the backdrop of a divisive presidential election was always going to be difficult. I still think we are going to get a package. It's almost inevitable. So I still think it's a question of when rather than if, although there's a question about how much that is likely to be. I think markets have also placed too much emphasis on the importance of a deal. The reality is it would have provided a short-term positive boost to sentiment, but longer-term growth prospects are more likely to be influenced by solving the medical crisis and the result of the election. So we continue to focus on those elements. In fact, US futures have turned positive this morning. Markets did react to say overnight, though. S&P 500 slumped 1.4%, raising a gain of 0.7%, and we are looking at a weaker start on the European bourses this morning, where we're currently calling FTSE down 16 points. DAX over in Frankfurt down 41 points. CAC Corona Paris off 22 points.
What's your feeling about the way the election's going to go? I mean, polls are saying Biden's leading by 14%, but I caught a New York pollster, I didn't get his name, who was speaking on the BBC yesterday, and he was scoring it 49 to Biden, 47 to Trump. And it seems like a wild difference in the polls.
Yeah, I haven't seen any national polls that put it as close as that, it has to be said. Remember, it's not around the national poll that's important, but it's around winning those all-important swing states that we've been talking about. But if anything there, you could argue that Joe Biden's lead has been intensifying. So listen, there's multiple paths for, I think, the Democrats' candidate to take the keys to the White House. It's going to be a harder argument to make about how President Trump can get over the line this time around. But as you say, remember saying that back in 2016. So we have to wait to see exactly how it plays out. Probably a little bit too close to call. We still think we'll see further volatility in financial markets as we head towards that all-important date.
It's the swing states that are going to count. Florida, North Carolina, those kind of places.
Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, these are the big states you've got to watch out for. Some of the big states will continue to be important. Donald Trump did very well, of course, in winning some of those swing states that haven't done so for many years, putting those in the column of the Republicans. We should remember, Joe Biden is, of course, from Pennsylvania, so perhaps that will play out in an important role in one of those crucial swing states as well.
Okay, French economy isn't doing very well. Although I have to say that no signs of any stores closing down en masse like there are in the UK, but I guess that's the difference between the rental prices.
Yeah, the French economy is projected to stagnate in the fourth quarter's uncertainty and the risk of lockdowns stifle investment and consumer spending. INSEE, the country's statistics agency, downgraded their growth forecast to 0% from 1% as sentiment surveys, they suggest, have been tinged with worry about the near future, undermining confidence that built up after a strong rebound in activity when France lifted nationwide restrictions earlier in the summer. The service sector is particularly downbeat. They also said households are fearing rising unemployment. The report adds the evidence the euro recovery is running out of steam as European governments struggle to balance economic activity with the need to contain the resurgence of the virus. The euro fell on the update. Expectations, of course, the European Central Bank will need to increase its asset purchase programme.
You're much better on the ISDN, you know.
Do you like it?
Yeah, yeah. You know, much
more
punchy.
Isn't it?
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Old school.
Meatballs.
IKEA, yes, doing very well. I struggled to make the jump there. IKEA has reported resilient full-year figures and offered an optimistic outlook. They said sales are expected to return to growth during the course of this year. The coronavirus boosted shoppers' interest in spending more money on their homes, a trend the world's biggest furniture retailer believes will stay. Retail sales, products and services at its 445 IKEA stores and online shrank just 4% in the year through August. That's much, much better than was feared at the height of the crisis. E-commerce sales surged 45% to account to 15% of the total. Said in recent weeks, sales are up nicely. In fact, they're up 7 to 8% year on year. That's encouraging them to continue to expand. They said they'd open 50 new stores during the course of this year. Most of those new stores will be the inner city format. So moving away a little bit from the iconic sort of large out-of-town stores to trying to get closer to people in their neighbourhoods.
I'm sharpening my Allen keys.
You are? Getting ready for it?
Yeah.
What do you need? Some new shelves?
No, my daughter's having a new bed delivered on Saturday. I'm going to have to do battle with that.
That's a Saturday and Sunday job.
Well, probably most of Saturday, I would imagine.
Very nice.
Foreign exchanges, please.
Pound against the dollar coming in at 1.29, euro dollar coming in at 1.17. Can you get just under 1 euro 10 cents for your British pound this morning?
Let's hope the old ISDN line holds up.
We're liking this, aren't we?
Very good. Very good.
Good man.
Yes, can actually understand what you're saying again. Right, talk to you tomorrow. Thank you.
Have a good day.
Henk Potson, Barclays.
On FM and DAB Plus across the Côte d'Azur, on your phone and worldwide online. This is Riviera Radio with the latest local news for the south of France.
Sarah Lyser has the top stories across the Riviera.
150 bodies from the cemetery of Saint-Damas in Tende in the hinterland of Nice have been washed away following Storm Alex. The mayor confirmed that the bodies have gradually been found downstream, with three quarters of the cemetery disappearing in the floods, or about 150 bodies. Meanwhile, the mayor of Saint-Martin-Vesubie also confirmed that his village has also seen its cemetery ravaged by the floods, with firefighters recovering coffins which were floating in floodwater. Rescue workers continue to evacuate hundreds of people from villages hit by flash flooding, with the death toll expected to rise as searches continue for survivors. Many collection points have been set up across the Côte d'Azur to help flood victims. For details of where and how to help, you can go to rivieradio.mc. French President Emmanuel Macron is expected in the area this afternoon. And if you're seeking information about loved ones who may have been affected by the storm, a special number has been set up. It's 0493 722 22. That's 0493 722 22. Meanwhile, as rescue operations continue around the clock, Monaco's Minister of State, Pierre Dartout, has announced that the Monégasque government has agreed financial aid of €4 million to the areas hit by Storm Alex. The announcement came following the National Council meeting held on Tuesday evening by the government here in the Principality, where it was confirmed that €1 million will be allocated to the four valleys hit by the storm in both the Alpes-Maritimes and over the border in Italy, in the Valle della Roya, behind Ventimiglia. The funds will go to helping those affected, as well as the reconstruction of villages hit by the devastating storm. In other news, a fire has broken out overnight in a warehouse in Marseille in the Saint-Pierre district, destroying more than 7,000 square metres. Hundreds of firefighters were on site and still battling the blaze at 7 a.m. this morning. One new positive case of COVID-19 has been reported in the principality, with the number of residents affected by the coronavirus in Monaco to date standing at 224. Four patients, all residents, are hospitalised and there are no more patients in intensive care. 21 people are being followed by the Home Monitoring Centre. Meanwhile, on a national level, the number of COVID-19 patients currently hospitalised in intensive care in France has increased slightly on Tuesday. There are now 1,417 patients. In the past 24 hours, 168 new patients with the most severe form of the virus had to be admitted to an intensive care unit. Taking into account those being admitted and discharged from hospital, there are eight more patients than yesterday, according to the official figures communicated by the French Public Health Agency. The prefect of the Var has authorised five temporary coronavirus testing centres, two in Toulon, one in Bandol, one in Hyères and one in Draguignan. Testing is free of charge, but you'll need to wear a mask and take your carte vitale. You can find the locations and opening times at rivieradio.mc under today's news. As part of the government's wish to use digital technology to increase the quality of life and in particular communications between individuals and any administrative procedures here in the Principality, four new digital services are set to be up and running by the end of the year. Since the launch in April last year of Extended Monaco, the government's target is to increase the number of teleservices, which currently stands at 18 for 2020, to 30 for 2021. Four teleservices to be launched by the end of this year concern the online payment for school dinners affecting 3,200 pupils, which will allow parents to choose their method of payment with direct debits, bringing an end to processing numerous payments by cheque. The Mon Espace Domain application, which will allow tenants to pay online as well as access and receive all documentation concerning their residence. The aim is to provide residents of the 4,200 apartments with a better service and reduce the 120,000 documents which are sent each year. This application is in its testing phase and will be fully launched by mid-October. Paying and booking an appointment online for an MOT, giving motorists a faster and more flexible service. This service will be launched on November the 10th. And finally, to be launched by the end of the year, the SPME, or State Medical Benefits Service, application, which will allow online consultation of health reimbursements and treatment of personal files. In national news, the French arm of the World Wildlife Fund is urging the government to take action against the country's top-selling SUV cars, which it says has a crushing impact on both the climate and household budgets. In two reports published on Tuesday, the NGO said that over the past decade, the vehicles had become the second largest source of growth in French emissions, just behind the aviation sector. Finally, four homeless people have won €50,000 after being given a scratch card by a customer of a bar tabac in Brest. And the scratch card, which cost €1, saw the four homeless in their 20s claim their winnings, much to the delight of the owner and the customer of the bar tabac, where they were regularly outside begging. Speaking to the local press, the owner said how good it was to see the win go to those in financial difficulty, adding that they were a regular fixture outside the establishment. He concluded by declaring, "It's a belle histoire."
Riviera Radio, sports news.
And now they can be a regular fixture inside.
They've left the region, apparently.
Really?
Scarpered.
Cycling, the Italian rider Luca Vaccarmann has been taken to hospital after a helicopter flying too low caused a crash near the end of stage four of the Giro d'Italia. Vaccarmann and Etienne de Empel both fell in the incident, with Vaccarmann suffering a suspected broken back. As the helicopter flew over the riders, the movements of the air blew up the barriers, which weren't secured properly. An investigation is underway. Stage four was won by Arnaud Demare of France, with João Almeida of Portugal holding the leader's pink jersey. Tennis world number 131, Nadia Podoroska, is through to the semi-finals of the French Open after sensationally beating the third seed Elena Svitolina in the last eight. The 23-year-old came through 6-2, 6-4 and now will play Iga Świątek of Poland in the last four. She beat Martina Trevisan 6-3, 6-1. In the men's event, Rafael Nadal beat Yannick Sinner 7-6, 6-4, 6-1 in the quarterfinals, and he will now play Diego Schwartzman. Football, the England manager Gareth Southgate has warned his players about their conduct. Three players have been reprimanded for breaking coronavirus protocols last weekend, adding to the two who were sanctioned for breaching regulations in Iceland last month. Southgate has reminded players what it means and the expectations of playing for England and has urged the squad to be extra, extra careful and to follow the rules. Here's more football from BBC Sport.
BBC Premier League update from the home of Premier League football.
Hello, I'm Andy Barwell at the BBC Sports Centre. The former Crystal Palace striker Kwesi Appiah says his former Ghana international teammate Thomas Partey will be an excellent fit at Arsenal. The midfielder is joined from Atletico Madrid for more than $58 million in the final hours before the transfer window closed.
Under Mikel Arteta, you know, they're playing a lot of ball possession, playing out from the back, and that will really, really suit his style because he's very, very comfortable on the ball. Obviously, playing in Spain, it's a very technical league as well. So there's a lot of ball possession and passes being made. So it will suit him very, very well. And you're looking at a player who's going to probably fit in quite easily and it won't take him very long to settle in the Premier League.
The striker Dominic Calvert-Lewin insists the prospect of playing for England holds no fear for him following his scintillating start to the campaign with Everton. His inclusion in the England squad comes off the back of scoring 9 times in only 6 games in all competitions for his club this season, and those goals have propelled Everton to the top of the Premier League table. Calvert-Lewin is in line to make his international debut when England face Wales in a friendly international on Thursday.
Not looking too far ahead for myself. I was obviously concentrating on playing for Everton and scoring goals and playing well and winning games. And as it's gone, and then obviously as the time nears, you hope that you might be in the manager's thoughts to be called up for your country. And obviously, as many people say, you know, it's a dream, kid's dream to play for the country. And obviously, I'm very privileged to be here now.
And Arsenal star Mesut Ozil has offered to pay the salary of the club mascot Gunnosaurus. On Monday, the club announced that Gunnosaurus would be going after 27 years at the club, one of 55 redundancies due to the financial impact of the coronavirus pandemic. For more football news on the BBC, go to bbc.com/football.
BBC Premier League update from the home of Premier League football.
Finally, Rugby Union Sale have named their side for the delayed Gallagher Premiership match against Worcester, which will decide whether they get a place in the playoffs. The match had to be postponed on Sunday after 19 positive cases of coronavirus in the Sale squad. In the event of another positive COVID-19 test, Sale will forfeit the match. Otherwise, kickoff will be at 8:45 French time tonight.
The weather forecast, brought to you by Oyster, the world's finest blue water sailing yachts. Oyster Yachts, beyond expectation.
Four coastal areas up to 20 miles offshore the Amara Sea and Nevada are gale warnings in force. The general situation is a depression 1,011 millibars over the Côte d'Azur and a high pressure 1,020 millibars over Spain and southwestern France. Winds are westerly, force 7 to gale, force 8, then dropping to variable, force 2 to 4 this afternoon. The sea is rough, visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Saint-Jean-Cap-Ferrat, 1,012 millibars. And the outlook for Thursday, clear skies, force 2 to 4 variable, winds, calm seas and good visibility. For North Corsica, gale warnings in force, winds westerly, force 7 to severe gale 9, dropping to force 4 to 6 this afternoon. The sea is very rough or high, visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Cap Corse, 1,011 millibars. And the outlook for Thursday, clear skies, force 2 to 4 variable winds, slight seas and good visibility.
The weather forecast, brought to you by Oyster, the world's finest blue water sailing yachts. Oyster Yachts, beyond expectation.
The weather forecast, brought to you by Servibat, the home closing specialist in Nice and Villefranche.
Mainly fine, but with a strong mistral across the Var, gusting it up to 75 kilometres an hour at times, top temperature 24 degrees, overnight lows 17 degrees on the coast, 13 degrees inland with clear skies. Thursday and Friday, mainly fine, highs of 21 to 23 degrees.
The weather forecast, brought to you by Servibat Nice and Villefranche. For 30 years, specialising in home closures, windows, blinds, shutters, reinforced glazing and doors. Feel good at home. Visit servibat06.fr.
Finally,
don't believe the stereotype. City dwellers are no less friendly than country folk, but those in wealthier neighbourhoods are more likely to help strangers. According to a new study, people living in a city or major urban area are no less friendly or helpful to strangers than those living in the country or more rural areas. Researchers from University College London carried out social experiments in 12 cities and 12 towns across the UK to measure how friendliness among residents. Experiments carried out by the research team looked at whether people would post a letter a lost letter, return a dropped item and stop to let someone cross the road. They found city dwellers were just as helpful as people in smaller towns. The difference depended more on the wealth of any given area and not how built up it was. People from more deprived areas were less likely to help than those from better off communities, according to the British research team. Those in wealthier areas were more likely to help a stranger than people in poorer areas, but the team couldn't say if this was due to the people or the environment. Before this study, there was a stereotype that people living in the city weren't as helpful, as nice or as friendly as those in less densely populated areas. And this comes in part from the fact that there's evidence urban lifestyles are associated with higher mental health risks, greater stress and lower levels of trust in others.
I always stop to let people cross the road. And let them out of junctions as well. And they look surprised when you stop to let them out of a junction. They think you're mad. You know, when I'm not bombing down the Moyne Corniche, of course.